Hello, and welcome to what must be the 19th episode of The Real Podcast. I can't believe it's gone so quickly. And, well, we find ourselves in strange times, do we not? And in these unusual times, one of the things that's really at the forefront of our minds is how to eat well, how to drink well. I mean, it's something that we chat a lot about here on The Real Podcast anyway. So, this week we thought we'd spread our net wide, really go to our network and see if we could find somebody who could come on the podcast and chat to you about how to really fill your plate with goodness, how to get some real nutrients and a healthy food onto your plate and into your glasses. And you know what? We didn't have to look very far at all, because right here within our own company, within Real, one of the co-founders, in fact, Adrian Hodgson, that's what his background is in. He's a scientist himself. He's a specialist in food science, in nutrition science, and that's what he's done with his career. He's written about it for magazines, for journals, for all sorts, and he's particularly good at putting across this stuff in an interesting and fascinating way. So, just like me, he's got a lot of time on his hands, and he's not going anywhere, and so I managed to get him to sit down. He's quite a hyperactive man. Get him to sit down and to really explain how to put together the perfect healthy dish in these times where people aren't really going anywhere. Have a listen, see what you think, and if you've got any questions, we'd be happy to do another podcast like this in the future. Just get on Instagram, get on Twitter, get on Facebook, whatever it is that you use. Send us your questions and we'll strap him down and get him to answer them again next time. So have a listen and do us a favour. Stay healthy and do stay safe. So today we're chatting to Adrian Hodgson, PhD. So Adrian, some listeners may know who you are because, you know, you're a co-founder of Real Kombucha, as we're often known. And a lot of people will know you if they've been involved with the trade. So people know you in the bar industry, people know you in the restaurant industry, because you're out and about and you're really talking to those people and you're knowing people. But perhaps a lot of the people who see us on Instagram and on social media and listen to this podcast don't have a good idea of who you are. So the question I have for you straight up is, why are you the man to be answering questions about healthy eating in this kind of mad lockdown period that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, I've obviously involved in Real, and that's what most people know me for. But my previous life, spent a lot of time at university. I studied nutrition, specifically looked at how our metabolism works and how our physiology contributes to how our bodies operate. And I did this in undergraduate, through postgraduate, and then I did a PhD in this as well. And I spent a lot of time trying to understand how natural ingredients in the world around us can actually help improve our overall health. Was in the University of Birmingham, your neck of the woods, for some years. And then basically took a lot of that research that I did and tried to translate scientific theory and scientific publications into something more meaningful. So essentially, how do you actually use that information to lead a healthier life? And how do we use that to make better decisions about what we eat and drink? Obviously, the thing I find fascinating, what I'm quite driven about, is translating it so that it's actually usable, so that when you actually are, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today, but if you're thinking about how you can build a plate of food, or what kind of drink should you be having and what's actually in my food, it's quite important to be able to understand that. And I've gone deep into the science in my previous life, but yeah, I like dumbing it down and making it usable for people. So I think we'll cover some of that today, I'm sure.
Okay, so we put out a call earlier today to our followers on Instagram, see if anybody had any burning questions related to, you know, how to eat well in lockdown. I still can't quite believe I'm using that phrase. But anyway, we've had a number of replies, but before I take you into them, I want to ask a few questions about staying healthy at this time. Straight for the jugular. Is it possible to eat yourself fitter as far as your immune system is concerned?
Yeah, I've seen lots of things going around on Instagram, Twitter. I've had friends messaging me, family members. I think firstly, before I answer the question directly, I think one, nutrition, so the food we put in into our body is more than just fuel. It certainly does contribute massively to both how our body operates, how our mind operates, And actually, I think really important point up front is while we're in isolation, it's about quite a holistic approach, thinking about not just the immune system specifically, but also everything else that's going on in our bodies. The risk that we're seeing at the moment is that a lot of people are saying, well, you have to eat this one food and there's this magic food that helps boost your immune system. I think really there's a number of different nutrients that we find in our diet that are actually very good at help regulating the immune system. And I think it's important to say that nutrition alone won't completely prevent or cure COVID-19. I think it's really important to say up front.
And that's an official line, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's an official line, British Dietetics Association, BDA. But they've come out with a you know, really useful position statement just saying, actually, you know, nutrition can contribute to a healthy mindset and a healthy body, but it's not about one set of foods or a specific ingredient nutrient that will cure you from COVID or to, you know, specifically prevent you from getting COVID-19. So I think that's really important up front. But actually, there are a number of different foods in our diet that we can eat more of. And there's certain foods that we can eat less of to actually make sure we're healthy. So specifically, there's a lot of vitamins and minerals that help keep our immune system in check. I don't think there's such thing as boosting your immune system. You can't take your immune system and then put a rocket pack on it and it's working at a higher level.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, you do see people talking about that, boost your immune system all the time. So you're saying that that's actually not really possible.
No, I see it more as you can support your immune system. Your body actually is very good at regulating itself. However, if you take a lot of that nutrition away, certain nutrients, vitamins, minerals, etc., it won't perform as well. It's basically like a Formula One car. You give a Formula One car the best petrol, the best tyres, the best engine, it's going to work at its best. Think of your body very much like a Formula One car.
I find that very hard, Adrian. I mean, you've seen me. I'm much more like a sort of a Corolla.
Yeah, or a Vauxhall Nova, you know, it's a classic. It's a classic. Think of yourself as a car, John. There we go. The Formula One car is one to look for, to aim for. But think of the food you're eating in a way of supporting the engine, your body, which is obviously very complex. So there are more things you can eat of in the diet. So thinking things like vitamin A, C, and D, all of those have been shown to contribute to supporting the immune system. And essentially, I think we're going to touch on this as well, but really, you could get bogged down in the details. Well, I've got to have more of this vitamin and more of this mineral. Actually, it's just about making sure that you've got lots of fruit and vegetables in your diet. Plants are wonderful things because they contain things that help our digestion, so fiber and starches, but they also contribute a lot of these vitamins and minerals. So I think at this time, the one piece of advice is get fruit and vegetables onto your plate and in your larder. That one adds great flavor to dishes. It adds great vibrancy and color. It makes it super interesting when you've been potentially sat at your desk behind a screen all day, actually having a bit of color on your plate's far more interesting. And actually, we are obviously faced with a lot of challenge at the moment in supermarkets from food that's actually available. But look to other areas of the supermarket for this. You've got the frozen section as well as fresh produce. There are obviously fruits and vegetables in there that you can buy. You could also buy tinned fruits and vegetables. There's also dried fruits as well, dried apricots, for example. There's prunes, other things like that, which are not directly in the fresh produce area that you can go to and add easily to your larder to help support that immune system.
I mean, I suppose this is a kind of a weird time, isn't it? It's unusual to hear a nutritionist sort of say, go and get your tinned food.
it does sound a bit 1920s, 1930s, World War, doesn't it? I mean,
But these are strange times.
It is bizarre times, but I think, you know, at the moment, one, I am quite inspired by seeing other people, chefs, as well as nutritionists, dietitians, who are putting out recipes, and we can be creative in the kitchen. I think we've got a real opportunity to do that.
Okay, so as always, it seems that the good advice here is just the sensible advice, really. In other words, don't go chasing that silver bullet. You're not going to find it and it's not going to do any good. So what would the good advice be around sort of eating and drinking? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of jokey posts and memes on social media showing people stocking the larder with as much alcohol as possible. And obviously, most of these are jokes. But what's the science sort of saying there? You know, fundamentally, why is alcohol a bit of a dodgy choice when you're considering things like immune systems?
Yeah, so I've also seen a lot of people, lots of booze in their cupboards, using it as an opportunity just to get, you know, drunk all day. We know that alcohol consumption actually has a negative impact on our immune system. It has an impact not only at a gut level, which has an impact on regulating the immune system, but also there's some fairly good research out there showing high consumption of alcohol can have an impact. And I think it's probably worth saying that at the moment, most people's alcohol consumption may have been moderate, and now suddenly it's seen a spike in its consumption. That will have a negative impact because you're obviously changing your consumption patterns quite quickly.
And I suppose people drink as a result of stress as well, don't they? That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the secondary part to that is alcohol consumption can lead to other bad choices. So you end up not actually making good food choices for that dinner meal because you've sunk a couple of bottles of wine. And suddenly, if you're doing that day in, day out, that's going to have an impact on, obviously, we're all sedentary at the moment, so weight gain. It's going to have an impact on how much saturated fat or sugars we're having. So it can have knock-on effects. And also then it impacts your sleep. Obviously drinking alcohol, increasing alcohol consumption can cause obviously deficient sleep. So therefore you wake up the next day not feeling great, and sleep's really important for immunity. Rest is really important to make sure our bodies are regulated. So it has not just it impacts the immunity, it also has these knock-on effects. So I think there's some pretty good supporting evidence there. Again, we're not all perfect. People are going to enjoy a beer with friends over whether it's a house party app or whether it's going on Google Hangouts or Skype. I think it's back to that. What we're saying is, look, if you're going to have a drink, have a drink. It's part of this is making sure you are enjoying and having a level of escapism with friends through virtual means at the moment. But it's also thinking about, well, actually, I've had a couple of glasses. Maybe I should shift something non-alcoholic. Or actually, I had a few with the wife or my partner last night or with some friends. Actually, tonight I'm going to have a night off the sauce. And I think it's that ability just to be conscious of what you've consumed and what you're going to be consuming. And that's always been our approach at Real, is just giving people that choice. You know, if you're trying to avoid alcohol or reduce your alcohol consumption, that's kind of what we've been on a mission of doing. So,
yeah. Okay. Again, so it's about balance, isn't it? I mean, it's this. All these things ultimately do seem to come down to that. I think it's still worth underlining it, isn't it? It's, you know, people still, especially in these times, they're looking for the key answer, the big answer. And it is always just about balance. So I've heard you talking, as I said before, you managed to entertain my children or keep their attention at the very least in terms of talking about food, which is, you know, not an easy task. And one of the things that I remember you saying that was really interesting and certainly caught my ear, was it something like a rainbow plate? Can you elaborate on that? Something to do with that?
Yeah, well, yeah, this isn't the type of plate I eat off. This is an analogy. And I think what we're talking about, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are going, well, you know, all this stuff's great. I mean, you're talking about you've got to make better decisions and you've got to think about what's going in your larder. It's like, how the hell do I actually implement this? It's like, how do I do this? And it's part of the translation. So we've been talking about really is trying to give people some information that's useful. And I'm certainly not going to be able to answer, or we're not going to be able to kind of chat through every element of nutrition because there's so many different things and everyone's so different.
Well, we can come back and do more podcasts, that by all means. We've got nothing but time on our hands, right? So
yeah, sat doing nothing, put our feet up, talk about food and drink. I think, you know, what's really useful is a couple of useful kind of, I call them rules, because I think at the moment it's about creating habits. And at the moment we're sat around doing nothing. So One of them, as you rightly say, is about painting the rainbow. And so I think that that rule, as I was describing to kids, and I've talked to many people when I've been in nutrition practice before Real, and is every single plate of food you build, you have to have at least two colours on the plate. And they, those two colours are coming from a fruit or a vegetable. So if you think about peppers, you've got a green and yellow pepper, you've got some cucumber, you've got some courgette, you've got some spinach, you've got some mango, you've got some strawberry, whatever it may be, it's two colours on the plate. And actually that goes back to what the general guidelines is, trying to get people to eat five portions of fruit and vegetables a day. So painting the rainbow is making sure if it's breakfast, you've got some fruit going on with that. At lunch, you've actually got some, maybe some roasted vegetables. Maybe for dinner, you've also got some sauteed vegetables, or you're grilling them. That's a really, really useful tip, which I find helps people along the way. And it kind of leads into a couple of the other rules, which is making sure that at the moment we're sat around with our feet up, or if you're obviously behind a screen, and thinking about how big your plates of food are, conscious about how your portion control, and that's one thing to be conscious of. But the paint the rainbow helps you think, actually, the majority of my plate should have some colours on it. So actually, what else do you put on the rest of the plate? So the other rule for people is being carbohydrate smart. So being carbohydrate smart is basically thinking about the type and amount of carbohydrates going onto your plate. Now, carbohydrates, I'm not going to go into science lesson, John. I can see you falling asleep. Well, but there you are.
I am here. But I do, you know, I do like to play the absolute fool in these interviews and say, give me an example of my carbohydrates.
So carbohydrates kind of divide into several different groups. Most people think carbohydrates just come from our sugars. So you think about table sugar, you think about sweets, you think about chocolates. But you actually have a number of different types. So, for example, you have monosaccharides, which are obviously going to be sugar sources. Disaccharides, things like milk, contains lactose. Lactose is an example of a disaccharide. And polysaccharides are normally the things that people think about most in their diet. They're the breads, the pastas, the rice. They're long chains of sugars bound together. There's the bit of science. But essentially, when we're saying about being carbohydrate smart, people should be putting more of the brown variety of carbohydrates. So your brown rice, brown pastas, couscous, quinoas, pulses, which actually will mean what that basically means is they're going to get a slower increase in the amount of sugars going into their body, which means their bodies can deal with it in a better way. There's a lot more detail around it, but essentially that's the headline. So carbohydrate smart, eat more of the brown variety, but think about how much is going on the plate. And you should think about it being a fist size. So think about a fist size amount of carbohydrates going on your plate. If you've done less movement during the day, you've been pretty sedentary, have half the fist of carbohydrates and put more fruit and vegetables on your plate instead. So that's carbohydrate smart in its simplest form.
Got any other rules? I don't like this word rules. Can we go back to habits? People have got enough rules coming to them from the government at the moment.
We can call, mate, you can call them whatever you like. Habits is a nice one. The other one is protein rich. So thinking about how much protein is going on your plate. Now, obviously, for those who are non-vegans, vegetarians, this can be from fish, it can be from dairy, it can be red meat, it can be white meats, obviously, depending on your preference. It's making sure you've got a palm size of protein going onto that plate.
So we've got a fist of carbohydrate, a fistful, that sounds like an old movie, fistful of carbohydrate, and a palmful of protein.
Yeah. And if you're vegan or you're vegetarian, you can substitute this for pulses. So I think another great thing to add into your plates is looking on in the canned aisles. So looking at all your legumes, so your chickpeas, your butter beans. Really simple recipe is don't buy tin baked beans, especially if they're. Well, I went to the supermarket the other day and they were out. So I bought some butter beans and some mixed beans. Put them into a pot. Put some chopped tomatoes on them, season them, salt and pepper, a little bit of Tabasco to spice them up, reduce those down, and I had homemade baked beans. Really simple way of doing it. So protein rich, making sure you've got protein on your plate. healthy fats. A lot of people talk about, actually, should I be eating fat? And we should be eating less saturated fat. So this is things from fried foods, limiting total amount of red meat also, because high fat content. But actually, monounsaturated fatty acids or polyunsaturated fatty acids are really good. So monounsaturated fatty acids, things from seeds and nuts. So adding that into your breakfast cereal in the morning is really good. They're linked to brain health. It does contribute to immunity as well. And then polyunsaturated fatty acids, they're things that you find in fish. So salmon, tin sardines, for example. So making sure you've got some healthy fats. Avocados is another good example. And it's a thumb size. So thumb size amount of healthy fats on your plate. So you've got fist size of carbohydrates, palm size of protein, thumb size of healthy fats. We've also then covered paint the rainbow. We've already talked about that. So that would be my fourth habit for people to think about. And then the fifth is about alcohol consumption, as we've already touched on. Limiting the amount there will have an improvement on sleep, how your head's feeling, your mindfulness. And I think that's an important part while we are slightly, we're isolated, whether you're living on your own or if you're locked up with your partner or friends, if you're in a shared flat. Obviously, how your head's feeling, mindfulness is an important consideration. We've talked a lot about how our bodies are operating, but how our heads are feeling is also very important in that as well. So those are five kind of habits or rules that people can apply throughout this time, which I think is quite helpful for filling the cupboards, shopping, or building plates of food. So
nice one. All right. Okay, so let's quickly go to some questions that we've had from our followers. I want to whiz through some of these because otherwise we could be here all day. And absolutely, we could do this as another podcast in the future as well. Any more questions that people have, send them through on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, and we'll get Adrian to answer them. Okay, so Adam has asked how we can make vegetables taste good at dinner time. Now, I'm assuming that Adam must be about 8 years old to be asking that question. But it's a decent question, certainly if you've got kids. So go for it.
Yeah, so... Well, to be able to do paint the rainbow, you need to be able to get the vegetables into whether it's Adam's mouth or your kid's mouth. Number of different ways. So firstly, most people just will boil to death their vegetables. Bit mushy.
It's the English way.
Yeah, just, it's al dente, not, So essentially, I really like to grill vegetables. So getting a frying pan. Literally a touch of oil, olive oil, little bit of salt, sprinkling of salt, get the pan really hot and chop your vegetables into small slices. So for example, courgettes, you can easily do this. Asparagus, you could do this. You could do it with aubergines. You could do it with peppers. Put them in, grill them. You only need to grill them probably about 5 minutes. You get the nice crunch. You get a little bit of a char-grilled effect. Tastes really good. So that's one way to make them taste better.
Oh, you've got me thinking back to my days in Japan when we used to go to restaurants known as yakitori restaurants. People are finding out more about yakitori in this country, I think, now. But yakitori is usually to do with chicken and bird meat and that kind of thing, the word tori meaning that. But quite often when you go to those places, they'll have people just grilling things on sticks and they'll just be... amazing, shiitake mushrooms, all sorts of things, and they just taste, they take on that charcoal flavor.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, some great restaurants that we work with. So there's the guys at Root down in Bristol. I know Tom Peters does some great vegan, vegetarian dishes as well. But
if you're in Brighton, head to Bincho Yakitori for exactly what I've just been talking about.
But that's one way.
The weather's good. Now's the time to get your barbecue out in the garden.
Get the barbie out for sure. Yeah, get grilling. So that's one really nice way. You can also obviously put them in the oven and roast them. So roasted peppers are really good. You can then stuff that with all sorts of things. And the great thing about that, if you're not really a chef, it's actually a nice little dish to put together because you can bang in peppers, onion, garlic, courgettes, aubergine, all in a tray, put it in, oil it up, half an hour, get it out. And you can add whatever you want to the plate. And it looks like you made quite a bit of effort, but really you just chopped some stuff and shoved it in the oven. That's a really good way. If you've got kids that are really struggling with it, actually a blender is quite handy. You can actually make sauces with it. So a really simple way is blending up some courgettes, some spinach and some tomatoes, blending it down and cooking their pasta and then just pouring the blended vegetables on top, and you make your own homemade sauce.
And that's just as good as it, nutrition wise.
Just as good. Yeah, you're just pouring it in. You're keeping the skin. You're keeping the seed. You're keeping the total amount of the vegetable in there. Pour it in. Great, really simple way of doing it.
Okay, great. Izzy has asked a really interesting question, and a good question, I think, about finding good food, finding good foods for vitamin D, because it's obviously sunny now, it's beautiful outside, but that's not necessarily going to be the case over this lockdown period. So go for it.
Yeah, vitamin D, tough one, because even though the sun's out right now, we're not actually, if we were to be outside for long periods, but we shouldn't be out for more than an hour, is our skin doesn't actually synthesize vitamin D at this time of the year. It's only past April time that we really start, due to the angle of the latitude that we're at and the angle of the sun, that we actually are able to synthesize after April. So actually right now, get out there, you may synthesize a little bit, but not maximum amount that we would see over the summer. Most Brits and also the Irish, and there are other countries that are high prevalence of vitamin D deficiency. The tough thing is getting it from food, because the main source is really naturally in food is oily fish and egg yolk. They're the main two. But if you follow a vegan or vegetarian diet, really difficult. There are fortified foods, so some vegetable spreads, some butters, some milks. It tends to be more in the US than here in the UK. Are fortified with vitamin D. So there is some advice that you can go and find on the British Dietetic Association or the Nutrition Society about vitamin D supplementation, which is quite helpful. But tough one at this time of the year, but having, you know, some oily fish and some egg yolks, or making omelets, or whether it's your breakfast, poached eggs would be a good way of helping.
Brilliant. Okay, so another set of straightforward questions here, although I think you've probably answered the first one. The first one was, how can I make sure my diet is balanced? I think we've done that. And the second one here is, are there any things in my kind of larder, in my cupboard, that I should be avoiding right now, even though it's particularly hard to avoid them? You know,
yeah.
What snacking should I not be doing?
Well, it's quite funny. I was talking to my wife, Tori, about this, and you know, I gave the textbook answer of, you know, put some rules together, you know, make sure you're avoiding them, you know, and she's just said, well, actually the best thing is put all those snacks that you love in the freezer, and if you really need it, then you'll have to wait for them to be defrosted, and by which time you probably don't want them anymore. So, I mean, it's an interesting strategy. I don't know if anyone's going to implement that.
Well, it's very similar to something that one of the problems that I have in this lockdown period, or any period, let me be honest, is my overuse of my telephone and my internet. And so my mobile phone there all the time, just such a temptation. I learned this trick, and it really does work. You can go into the dev settings on your phone, and after a certain point in the evening, you can have it turn all its colors off, so it just goes grayscale. And it's amazing how uninteresting your phone becomes when you actually really have to work hard to try to get that color palette to it.
Yeah, I bet.
It sounds very similar to that, right?
Yeah, it's if you make something not interesting, then that certainly helps. The problem is, if those foods are already in your cupboard or in your larder, then they're there. You know they're there. So I think really it's about, I always say to people that we're not perfect, and it's kind of a, you know, when I used to work with some athletes and some other people, I used to use a rule called 90-10. So 90% of the time you're thinking about those rules we talked about, and then 10% of the time you're allowed a treat. You're allowed, you know, we're not perfect. Allow yourself a treat. Now, it doesn't become 70-30 or 60-40. 90-10 basically means once a day you're having something on your plate or a snack that's probably outside of those little habits or rules that we talked about. So, and limiting them. So that doesn't mean, well, I'm going to eat a whole block of cheese. It means I'm going to have a couple of slices, or I'm not going to eat the whole remainder of the selection box from Christmas all in one sitting. I'm probably going to have one of them, one piece from there. So I think it's being probably a little bit strict with yourself. But also, if you're eating well at dinner time, and like we haven't really said, but more people are going to be at home. And actually, I think it's a really nice thing that we're probably going to be sat around the dinner table as a family, or as families, or as friends more often. So if you're eating and constructing good plates of food, you're probably going to feel pretty full by the end of it. So you're probably going to limit those snacks anyway. So
what about nuts, Adrian? Because I've read before that actually a good way to to snack, if you really want a snack, is to have a nice jar of nuts available to you. But my problem is that I'm just eating nuts, handfuls of nuts every time I walk past that jar.
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, like it's they are great little option to add to dishes or as a snack option. Thing to remember, even though they're healthy fats, so monounsaturated fatty acids, they're still quite calorie dense because they do contain a high proportion of fats. So I think it's a small handful at a time. So rather than going, there's a jar, I'm going to, you know, think about it, you're going once, you're going twice, you've eaten the whole jar, and that's probably 500, 600, 700 calories in a single jar. It's using that as your mid-morning snack is a small handful of nuts with some raisins, and that's your snack. And that jar has to go away because the thing is, otherwise you're going to be snacking on those all day.
Yeah, I'll be having those handful of nuts 10 times a day sometimes.
Yeah, you've got to be careful with that. So I think it's, if you're having that snack, make sure you are having a great lunch, a full plate of food rather than a small lunch. Have a good plate of food using those rules we talked about, which means then come afternoon, yeah, okay, if you're still feeling peckish, then you add some nuts into it, but you're not then snacking constantly between the hours of 1 and 6 before dinner. So yeah, it's still a good snack option, but just be conscious of how many you're popping in the mouth.
You've just mentioned the Wonder Food just earlier, and we've had a lot of questions about this particular glorious golden food. A number of people written in, basically asking the question, is there a way that I can eat as much cheese as possible without, you know, while staying alive, basically?
Yeah, it's cheese is such a wonderful, wonderful food. I'm partial to cheese myself, and you know, it's actually in guidance documents by most nutritional dietitians, they will say that cheese obviously great source of calcium. It contributes significantly to calcium, which is good for obviously teeth and bones and growth and obviously energy release in the body. But if you're having a cheese fondue every night, it's probably not doing wonders for your intake of fat, but also your waistline. So there may be some unhappy people out there if I was to say restrict the amount of cheese you're eating. It talks about, you know, a portion of cheese or a portion of dairy a day. If that's obviously different if you're vegan. But I think it comes back into that snack category, which is if you're having cheese, add it as an ingredient, but think about how much you're popping in onto it. So if you're having a cheese omelette, it's not the whole block of cheese or half a block of cheese. It's probably a quarter.
Well, come on. You've talked earlier about painting the plate, the rainbow, doing that stuff. And you also had these wonderful analogies about pieces of your hand with which to measure stuff. Can't I put cheese in that lovely golden colour onto my rainbow plate, you know, with maybe the portion of 4 fingers close together? You've had a palm full of protein, 4 fingers worth of cheese.
This is why I call them rules, John, not habits, because I feel like you're bending the rules here. Look, cheese is a great ingredient to add to dishes. It does add that, I'm getting hungry myself, but it adds that real velvety taste, doesn't it? And you've got obviously different types of cheese, and I just would be careful of how much you're adding in and how often you're having it. It's a nice treat, obviously times at the moment you want to be making sure that you're having a little treat, especially if you've indoors all the time. But you know, there are, you know, if you're thinking about, well, if I'm taking cheese out of my diet, obviously you can get calcium from other sources, so green vegetables in general, tofu, nuts as well add calcium. So you can get, if you are vegan, you can obviously still get your calcium from those. I just be conscious, and I know I've got close friends, and I'm even sure Romy in the business will be upset at me for saying this, but just limit the amount of cheese, especially if it's you've got a lot of cheese in your fridge.
So we can't be measuring it against parts of the hand. It's not like a knuckle's worth of cheese, is it?
Well, some people will probably be eating a palm, a complete hand's worth of cheese a day, maybe. So
have you been watching me?
Yeah, I've seen what you like.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions before we shoot off for today, and like I say, we can do this as often as people are interested. Just send in the questions. Real Kombucha, we're obviously a delivery company, sort of delivering non-alcoholic drinks, and we're very much open for delivery at the moment. Our brewery, you know, we're practicing very carefully safe social distancing, but we are allowed to deliver at the moment. Government has said that's fine. I'm wondering about other delivery companies you might have seen out there who are providing decent food options. Anyone you'd want to give a shout out to?
One company, or a collective of companies, Covent Garden Markets. They've clubbed together to support all the fruit and vegetable suppliers around London, so they're worth checking out. There's about 25 different fruit and vegetable suppliers on there, who are getting a good shout out, and obviously they've got a lot of produce that is going to be going off if they don't shift it. And also, if we're going to fulfil the paint the rainbow, it's good to have that delivered to your door. So yeah, those guys are good to check out. You've obviously got there's Natura, who I know obviously supply a lot of London chefs and restaurants with great ingredients, but obviously now that restaurants are shut, I know they've opened up a direct to consumer B2C delivery option, so they've got quite specialist ingredients being delivered if you're fancying to, you know, cook something a bit more gourmet at home. Yeah, if we can get inspired by some chefs on cooking at home, I mean, there's some great chefs out there and other nutritionists that are doing stuff. I mean, our friend that we worked with in the past on, you know, when we did the stuff with Whole Foods is Ellie Pear. She's got some really cool stuff going on her Instagram about cooking at home, and she had, I think, great dish on lentils the other day. So
just in terms of sort of ideas, because I know you're very much into your fitness and that kind of thing, you know, stuff that you can do at home just to keep your fitness level over up and running. You know, not everybody has sports equipment. Should we be, you know, can we be bench pressing family members? You know, what's the best thing to be doing here?
Look, movement is key. If you want to move your family members around and put them on your back and bench press them, be my guest. I've got some friends who have ordered expensive bits of kit for their home, whether it's a home cycle bike thing or but to be honest, just movement, like moving more while we're in this state of isolation is really important. We're allowed to go out and exercise. Obviously, the government have been clear about that. Maybe one good thing about this is actually some people who don't do much movement will actually go outside for at least 1 hour a day and move. Maybe there will be some good out of this. But in terms of what people can say again.
That's the dream.
Yeah. I mean, it really simple. There's lots of different things you can do. You don't need to be going out and buying kit. There's really, you can if you want to, but there's really no need because it's about just moving your body. So there's some really good gyms that are around the country that you can watch free workout videos on Instagram.
Yeah, they're doing that now, aren't they?
So there's quite a few, some of the big gyms. So, you know, you can check out those. I know One Rebel is one example. They've been doing quite a bit. You can also go on, you know, the body coach, he has a YouTube channel. Again, you just put that on about 15 minutes, really simple to do. And it's a combination, it's not even like doing sit-ups or lifting weights, it's just body movements, whether that's some squats, whether that's jumping up and down, whether that's some single leg lunges. You can do that, or what I just do, I just take the dog for a run in the morning. And if you're not up for that at the moment, you just build it up. We've got the next couple of weeks, depends on how long we're in isolation for, but just build it up, see it as a challenge, you know, start each day, pick a route, do a walk with the dog or just on your own or with your partner or with a friend if you live in the same house. Like, go out, do that. Next day, try and do it a bit quicker. Next day, do half of it in a jog, half of it in a walk. You know, you can build these things up. So lots of stuff you can do, people out there to help. Or do a virtual workout. I've had some friends do virtual workouts where my wife's done it with one of her friends where they're doing a yoga video together at the same time, and it's just another way of being spurred on. A bit of healthy competition or a bit of support's quite important as well.
Brilliant. And as I've said a number of times, we can do this, we can keep going with this for as long as you like. People just need to send in questions. We can ask Adrian anytime anything to do with food. Otherwise, you are available there on Instagram, aren't you, Adrian? What's your handle these days?
It's at Adrian Hodgson Booch, B-O-O-C-H.
Adrian Hodgson Booch. Adrian, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
Thanks, John. Yeah, nice to speak to you too.
See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.